Welcome to Life Church Hurley's audio podcast. We hope this teaching will challenge you in any season of life you may be in. Thank you for joining us. We hope you'll enjoy.
Good morning, good morning. Hey, next week, Breakfast with Jesus, just these, please. Breakfast with Jesus next week. It's going to be incredible. We're going to be outside next week. We're going to have rent a giant tent, and we're going to have church together. We're going to have breakfast together. It's going to be intimate. It's going to be amazing. We're going to have an amazing time of worship. We're going to have baptism like you saw on the screens, but it's going to be good. Amen. We did that a couple years ago, but we're going to make it an annual thing and just make it a special time together. So if you can come out next week, that's going to be amazing. Now, this morning, I have the privilege I think I'm doing something I've never done before, and that is preaching in front of my brother and sister at the same time. So they're in the room with us this morning, my brother Jeff and my sister Kim, and that's right. Amen. Woo! Her fiance Anthony, his wife Lita, my nephew Ty. We clarified that this morning. It's the first time I've been together with my siblings in 5 years. My brother is in the Air Force. They're living in South Korea, at least for another year. My sister lives in Houston. So anyhow, it's good to have the family in the house. Amen. For Easter. So good times, good times, good times. If you have your Bible, I think you know where to turn today. I think you know where we're going. Somebody asked me last night, in fact, two people asked me last night, said, what are you preaching on in the morning? There's no help for some people, you know, you go with it, I just smiled and said, I'm thinking about the Easter message, just considering it for tomorrow. So you can turn to the end of the Gospels, to the Easter message. But I got to tell you, I think even if you don't go to church, you know the Easter message, like you know what it is, or at least you know the basics of the Easter message. You kind of get the idea of Easter. You understand it's Jesus, not the Easter bunny. It's a cross, and it's not eggs. It's him going to the cross, dying for our sins, and then going to the grave and raising 3 days later, just like Scripture declared and proclaimed that he would. Amen. And so we know that Easter story, and it's beautiful, and it's amazing, and I think when you wake up on Easter morning, you're like, all right, I'm going to hear that message. I'm not very good at those type messages, so I'm just going to do my own messages. That's cool for you this morning. But I want you to go to Luke chapter 24, verse 46 and 49. There is so much more to the Easter message than I think just the typical thing that we always hear. Check this out. Sorry about that. Luke chapter 24, verse 46 says this. Then Jesus said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Amen. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power on high. Real quick, I also have my aunt and my cousin in the house, mainly. Woo! So anyhow, amazing. Y'all moved back there. I didn't see with family. So, this is amazing, though. This is so cool that there's so much going on. But you know what's funny is Jesus tells us the purpose of Easter. I think people just, we might know, people in the world might know what Easter is kind of about, but Jesus breaks it down. He goes, there was a reason. There was a purpose I went to the cross. And he's sitting there telling his disciples, here is the reason and the only reason. And he goes, for you to preach the repentance and remission of sin. That's the entirety of the gospel message and of the Easter message. That repentance and remission of sins can be had and can be preached by us. Amen? But you know, I think in the church, we get so used to, our calendar of, religious things, if you will, or our Christian calendar. I think Easter is the cap to everything that goes on in our calendar, like all our big holidays for the year, right? Like we start off with, well, we start off for Thanksgiving. But you know, we start off with Christmas, right? And we celebrate Christmas, and then you have Good Friday, and then you have Easter. And for a lot of us, like, that's the end. And so we dress up really nice for Easter, and we say, well, that's the last big holiday until Christmas rolls around again, and we're going to celebrate that big, and we're going to have a good dinner with the family. But you know what? Like, there's so much more. Like, Easter is not the finality of our faith. Amen? Come on. Easter was just a launching point for our faith. And so maybe we celebrate like almost like a morning, like, oh, Jesus died and he rose again, and that was beautiful. But Easter is not just about Jesus raising from the dead. In fact, Jesus said the point of Easter is so you can preach. In other words, Jesus's ministry had to come to an end so our ministry could start. So even though Easter is great and it kind of marks the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, Easter is really a celebration that we get to partake in as believers, because we get to celebrate at the beginning of a ministry that was launched for us. So in other words, when Jesus completed his ministry, he started ours. Isn't that amazing? And so maybe in the calendar, we always look at Easter and we go, well, it's the ending of all the holidays, and how cool we get to join with family and celebrate the ending of the holidays. But Jesus goes, actually, this is only the beginning. Yeah, yeah. And so the title of today's message, I don't normally tell you the title, but today, the title of today's message is, this is only the beginning. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus looks out and he goes, wow, that was good. I came back from the grave. Now go. Yeah. In fact, I want you to preach, and I want you to preach repentance, that I'm going to give them a shot. They have a chance. They don't have to live in the sin. They don't have to live in the lifestyle they are. They don't have to live a dead life. They can live a redeemed life. They can live a real life in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. And he goes, I want you to preach for repentance, that someone would turn their life around, come to me, give their life to me. And the most beautiful part is remission. You know the only person who can give remission of sin is Jesus. And so in other words, he says, when you turn to me, I will always, 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 always turn to you. I will always forgive you of whatever has happened, whatever you've been through, whatever you've committed. I will always, there will always be remission of sin. I don't know about you, but that is a pretty easy message to preach. Amen. Jesus said, the whole point of everything I did was for repentance and remission. You do your thing, I'll do my thing, and you'll join with me in heaven. Isn't that amazing? That is the Easter message, that Jesus did his thing. Jesus did his ministry so we could have our ministry. Amen. It's good stuff. It's sort of like the Elijah and Elisha concept. Elisha followed Elijah for a short period of time there. And Elijah was amazing. Like, he would follow Elijah around and go, I'll follow you anywhere you go. And Elijah's like, well, you know, there's going to come a point where I'm going to have to go, and you can't follow me everywhere I want to go. And he goes, no, Elijah, I'm going to follow you everywhere you go. And Elijah's like, all right, well, you can follow me a little further and a little further. And finally, God got to the point where he's going to call Elijah up. And Elijah's still standing there going, hey, I will follow you anywhere. And Elijah's like, no. That's not how this works. You actually physically cannot go where I'm going. And you remember the disciples. Jesus, we would go wherever you're going to go. And he's like, well, actually, you physically can't go where I'm about to go. But Jesus, we'll go. We'll do anything. And Jesus says, look, when I complete my ministry, you can start yours. Amen. So I just want to celebrate this morning that the fact that Easter is just a marking of what we're sent out and called to do. Amen. So rise up in your spirit right now that Easter is not about a death and resurrection. It's not just about that, but it's about a resurrection in our ministry. It's about the starting point of our ministry. It's about a launching point of our ministry. And we have something because of what Jesus did. Amen. Verse 47. I love it. He says, repentance and remission of sins should be preached. In other words, we have a calling and we have something we have to do. Luke 24:46, at the very beginning of this, the last verse back, says, then Jesus said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. I want to focus on one word right there. And the word is necessary. We can just leave that verse up. Verse 46. And thus it was what? Necessary for the Christ to suffer. Now I read that and that's pretty interesting. In other words, God had put together a schedule of events that Jesus was to do in order to fulfill his ministry, in order to fulfill the calling and the purpose that Jesus had. And so God says, I have things that will be for you, that will be necessary for you to do, for you to fulfill, and you have to do it at these times and these places, and you have to go to the cross. You can't just die by lashing or die by stoning or anything like that. It is necessary for you to go to the cross. That way, when I have a purpose and a plan, and when you go to the cross, it will be complete. Amen? So I want to focus on the word necessary. In other words, God had a plan. And it had to be according to his plan. Matthew 28, 16 through 20, because it is the exact same way with us. If it was necessary for Christ to fulfill certain things and certain obligations in the name of his Father, can I tell you this morning, it is the same way for us. Amen. We have certain obligations that are necessary for us to fulfill for our Father. Amen? Yeah. I'll amen myself. All right, check this out. Matthew 28, 16, it says this. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, here's what's amazing to me. We just talked about how it was necessary for Jesus to do certain things in certain places. Jesus comes back from the dead and he has this idea. He goes, I'm going to meet with my disciples. But then he says, I want to meet with my disciples at a certain place. And it says that Jesus appointed a mountain. Can you just imagine that? Jesus appointed a mountain for his disciples. And you go, okay, what's the big deal? Do you realize that it had to be one mountain, a certain mountain, that Jesus told them to gather to? There was one place, one time, one occurrence. And Jesus said, I appoint this entire mountain. And for that moment, that mountain belonged to the disciples. Because when God appoints something to you, it's yours. Amen? Amen. I want you to get that in your spirit. When God appoints something to me, it is mine. Yeah. And so when it says that Jesus had to do some things that were necessary, God appointed Jesus to do certain things. Do you realize that the cross that Jesus hung on was appointed for him to get on? There was no other cross that was worthy. There was no other way. There was no other method that was worthy. There was a cross. There were soldiers that were appointed from the beginning of time to be there at the feet of Jesus. There was a cross appointed to him. It was his cross. Amen. So I want you to look at that. That Jesus appointed an entire mountain. And in this moment, it belonged to him and it belonged to his disciples. And in this moment, there was no army that could overthrow it. There's no one that could strip it away. There's no force that could have come and taken this away because God appointed this moment. You got it in your spirit? Check this out. If God asks you to travel, or go spend money on a trip, can I just tell you this? Go. Because I want to show you this. If God has a trip planned for you, and God has a calling for you, and he's asked you to go, then go. You know what's neat about that is if God has told you to go, and he has a city for you to go to, it could be anywhere, it could be Baltimore or New Orleans, God forgive us. I won't go there. Anyhow, so... Do you realize that plane, with that number on the side of that plane, if God told you to go to that city, that plane was appointed for you to ride on? Yeah. Do you realize that the stewardess walking down the aisle, if you're following God's will, was appointed to be your stewardess on that plane by God that day? Are you getting this? If God can appoint a mountain and say, this is your mountain for this moment, and you will meet me here, and you will have an encounter with me, then God can appoint things all along the way. Do you realize that your hotel room was appointed for you to stay in God's will? Do you realize that the restaurant you eat at and the meal you eat at, do you realize that the rental car you stay in, when they pull your rental car around? One day I was going to a conference in Dallas, and the church rented me a rental car. I was so thankful. I was young. And I was like, yeah, okay, great. And go pick up my rental car. It was bright red. It was like a little bitty tiny car, bright reddish, orangish. And I was like, praise Jesus. I'm going to Dallas by myself. Dallas. I get in the car. I get to the Mississippi line. And I realize there is no cruise control on that car. So all the way to Dallas. No, anyhow, that car was appointed for me anyhow, some reason. I hope and pray that was on the podcast. Do you realize that if that plane was appointed for you to ride on in the name of Jesus, that it will carry out his purpose and his plan for you? You see, because I think if we start to understand this, and believe me, when you start speaking stuff like this, non-believers look at you like you are crazy. They look at you like you're psycho. What are you talking about? It's just a plane, right? Get on a plane, shut up. But believers know. And believers that are rooted in the word know. And believers who believe in the calling of God and experience the calling of God know that when you go to a dealership and the dealer gives you $5,000 just to do it, you know God is in it. Amen. When you're handed a house for no reason that you can't afford, you know that God's in it. You believers have walked long enough and know and been through enough experience with God that they know these principles are true. And so when God says, hey, I have appointed you a mountain, he might have appointed you a city, he might have appointed you a rental car, he might have appointed you a plane, I want to tell you this, you get on that plane with boldness and confidence and knowing that this plane was meant for me this day and it will carry out the purpose that God has for me, amen? It will change your life, it will change your attitude, it will change your perspective on who God is and who you are in him, amen? So Jesus appoints them a plane. And you're like, well, I don't know if I believe that, Pastor. I want you to check this out. Genesis 18:14, very beginning. This is Sarah and Abraham. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Somebody answer me. No. This is at the very beginning. Is anything too hard for the Lord, for the God? I mean, come on.
No, nothing.
What are you going to throw God's way? Now, check this out. Here's awesome. God is amazing. At the time appointed, what? At the time what? Appointed, I will return unto you, and according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, here's what's amazing. Sarah was old. Yeah. Only way to put it. Yeah. She was way past the age of childbearing. But here's what's beautiful about God. God says, I have appointed an age for you. Do you see that? I have appointed not only a day, not only a date. I have appointed an age in your life where you will finally bear a child. And so God looks around and he goes, I can appoint a plane. I can appoint a hotel room. But I want to tell you this morning, I can also appoint an age in your life. There might have been a lot of doubts. There might have been a lot of disappointments. There might have been a lot of failures in your life. But there's going to come a point where when God speaks, it will be. God, how come I've never been able to do this? And you've said from the beginning, God says, have I appointed this time yet? Are you at the age where I've appointed for you for this to be? You know, it'll keep you going. It kept Abraham and Sarah going. It will keep you believing. It will keep you understanding. And then when you're old and you're having a kid, whether physically or spiritually or whatever God's called you to do, you look around and go, wow, that is who my God is. You remember like with Pharaoh, Moses walked up to Pharaoh and he said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no. I just made that part up. So But he said, no. He goes, hey, you're going to let my people go? And he says, no. And he says, hey, let's just go out and worship our God and we'll come back. And Pharaoh says, no. But if you look back in Exodus, it's an amazing story because God finally just throws the gauntlet down. He goes, hey, I'll tell you what. I have appointed a time. In fact, I have appointed a minute on the next day, tomorrow, that when that minute hits on the clock or the sundial, whatever, when it hits that minute, if you have not done what I have asked you to do, I have appointed that minute to turn the tables. Do you realize that God has appointed times? He has appointed places. He has appointed years. He has appointed years of your life to do certain things for his will. He even says, I think it's in Psalms, he says that he has appointed the moon. He has appointed the moon for the seasons and the sun. It says the sun knows when to go and come back. He says he knows. He says, but for the moon, I've appointed the moon for a specific purpose. And now it took science all these years to finally catch up and realize that the moon affects the seasons. And now we know that, but God told us long ago. He says, I have appointed the moon for one purpose. So you can spend a lot of money on a moon lander and send it up there and take pictures. He says, I have appointed that moon for you and your life. So you can enjoy four seasons, unless you're in the South, and then you have hot and less hot. But still two seasons. Isn't that amazing? Don't you see that is just how God works? And you might be going, oh, this is craziness. I don't believe this whatsoever. God has appointed. And if he can appoint a mountain, and if he can appoint a moon, and if he can appoint an age for an old lady to have a baby, he can appoint hotel rooms. He can appoint houses for you. He can appoint places and relationships for you to have, places for you to go, things that you didn't even ask for, desire for, long for, and even know that they existed. God says, but I know you didn't ask for it, but I appointed it for you to have, for it to fulfill my purpose. Amen. I've given it to you. And the last thing, Acts 22:9-11. I want you to read that real fast. This was with Paul. So now we go back to the New Testament. It says this, and those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are what? Appointed for you to do. There you go. God specifically looks at Paul and he says, I have appointed places, people, things, animals, food, hotel rooms. I have appointed all that for you. All you have to do is go. And at the beginning, Jesus says, I've went to the grave and I've come back for you to go. That's the whole point. That's the point of everything I did. Was for you to go, amen. He says, go. When I think about Jesus, he's very intentional. I think we see that. God saying, hey, it's necessary for you to do certain things. It's necessary for you to have certain things planned out. But what's interesting to me is Jesus said, hey, I have a mountain appointed for you. So I want you to come meet me at the mountain. And you might read that and go, okay, yeah, that makes sense. To me, I read that and go, why would you make them travel to meet you? Like, I mean, couldn't they all just met where you were? Or couldn't they all just gather together? Why do you got to make them like go all the way out to a mountain, climb a mountain, you know, take a lunch with them, and then meet with you there? But Jesus is very purposeful. And Jesus has a vision, I guess, of what he is desiring and what he's longing for. And so he brings them out. And it's always amazing to me about like what he's doing when he gets there and what he's showing us. You know, The whole thing about Jesus and the mountaintop experience, you ever heard that phrase? I want to go and have a mountaintop experience with Jesus. I want to go to church this morning. I want to go to church on Easter. And Jesus, I pray you're real. Allow me to have this experience where I can't deny it. Allow me to have this just epic experience. Allow me to hear things I've never heard before, hear songs I've never heard before. Allow me to praise and dance the way I've never even danced before. And Jesus goes, hey, I want to draw you out to a mountain. You're like, it's not exactly what I was talking about. Well, what's amazing is the mountaintop experience was only so they could be sent back out. So Jesus draws them out to send them out. You realize that the mountaintop experience only lasted for a few moments, and then Jesus says, okay, I'm glad you enjoyed this. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to the city and preach. And he goes, wait for the power of my Holy Spirit. Do whatever you got to do, but I want you to come up here. I want you to be drawn out to me so I can send you back out. The mountaintop experiences you will have in your life, and for one reason, and for one reason only, is to be sent out. Yeah. It's to have a deeper understanding of Jesus. It's to have a deeper fellowship with Jesus, and then turn around the next moment and be sent right back out. Amen? If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians real fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll get there in just a moment. Waylon, we'll turn there in just a moment. I'm going to tell you this, that when you start to look at things as appointed for you, you start looking at everything different. You start viewing everything different in life. Have you ever been at a red light and you're the next car, but the car in front of you won't move? And then by the time they move, they go through the light and the red light switches red again. And what do? You take your phone and throw it at them, right? Come on, be honest. In the spirit. You get so aggravated. We're like so caught up in just going, going, going. But what's amazing is Jesus says, hey, I've brought you on the mountain. I've drawn you out because I'm going to send you out. And if we're in that mindset all the time of being drawn out, you know, for the disciples, it was such an inconvenience for them to go to the mountain. Do you realize that you're sitting at the red light and maybe it's an inconvenience for you, or maybe your flight is delayed and it's such an inconvenience for you? Do you realize that in those moments, maybe God is drawing you out to himself? Let me just throw a twist in it. Do you realize that if God is appointing everything for your life and showing you where to go, do you realize that the road before you, maybe it's not quite the minute that you're supposed to travel down that road? The appointment time has not clicked down to zero until that light turns green. And if you start viewing your life like that, man, your delayed flight will now be an opportunity to be drawn out and sent out by Jesus. Because maybe you're in the airport and your flight gets delayed. Maybe it's like a 3-hour delay. Maybe you're all bummed out. You're tired, trying to get home or whatever. And God's going, hey, watch this. I'm drawing you out in the moment. I know you're frustrated, but if you draw closer to me, I'm going to show you opportunities to be sent out. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to go over there and get you a cup of coffee. I don't even drink coffee. Go over there and get a cup of coffee. Okay, I'll get a cup of coffee. And you walk over, and here's the little coffee place in the mall, in the airport, and they're just slammed because all these flights are being canceled or whatever, and everyone's grouchy, and everyone, you know, is having a bad day, and there you are, the believer going, all right, I'm being sent out. God, you have appointed. You didn't appoint that plane for me. There must be another plane appointed for me to ride on. And so here you are. And God says, hey, guess what? I have a plane appointed for you. But guess what? I also have a little coffee shop appointed for you. I have a cup of coffee appointed for you because there is a barista at that coffee shop that I have appointed for you to minister to. Now, if you'll go get your cup of coffee that I have appointed for you, I have a mission for you while you're in the airport being delayed on your flight. Amen. And you, in those moments, you will realize that, hey, it's a good thing that I was delayed because I was being drawn out to be sent out for an appointed time for Jesus. Amen. It will change your life. Sit at the red light going, that road is not available for me. That road is not okay for me to pass right now. Jesus, I'm waiting on you. I appreciate you giving me a time and a place and an appointment for me to travel down that highway. Amen. God says, I have a purpose and I have a plan. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. It simply says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Now, some people look at that and they're like, well, I mean, God controls me. I mean, no. God's going, if you're not your own, then who do you think's taking care of you? Who do you think's making your schedule of events? Who do you think's sending you out? Who do you think's giving you this opportunity? Who do you think? Me. Amen. You are not your own. I got you. I got you. Now go to your next appointment. You know, I think the one of the biggest things with God, and we get excited. We have those mountaintop experiences. Like we come to church, we get all excited for Easter. We're like, oh yeah, God's amazing. I'm gonna go get on that plane today. Like we get excited about what God's doing. But the moment we turn around, the moment we walk out this door, how many of y'all know that fear starts to set in? That doubt, that disappointment from the past starts to set in, that the enemy will start to tell you, oh, that wasn't really what God was trying to say, and he's trying to say something else, and you're really not that good, and why would God choose you, and look at you, look what you did last weekend. I mean, come on. He wasn't talking to you. Maybe your wife, but not you. You know what I'm saying? It's like fear just starts to set in, and we start to think about all the reasons why we can't do what God has asked us to do. We can't go out there and be bold. And God says, you are not your own. And if I didn't think you could take it, then I wouldn't have sent you in the first place. Amen. Amen. By the way, we are a family church. Yeah. You can always bring your kids or your babies in here. We love it. Amen. Amen. Yeah. But God says, I have sent you. I want you to look at Matthew 28. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of the Easter story where they run and they see that Jesus is not there. But I want you to see what's going on. 28:1, it says, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. How would you like to be known in the Bible as the other Mary? Yeah. Jeez, that's embarrassing. You get to heaven. Oh, Mary Magdalene, who are you? I'm the other Mary, so. But you were in the Bible. Anyhow, so they came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and because of the dead men. I mean, became like dead men. But the angels answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. I love that. Do not be afraid. And he is not here, for he is risen, and he has said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Now that's good. That's the Easter story. That's very good. Now look at the next verse 8. So they ran out quickly from the tomb, and even though the angel just told them, do not fear, they left with fear and great joy. Man, I think that's how we leave church a lot of times. We're so excited, but then we're filled with fear at the same time. Jesus, thank you for what you did. And we get in the car, we're like, shut up, kids, sit down. How am I supposed to do what Jesus called me to do with you talking? We all know it's true. We get so excited. We have the mountaintop experiences, but at the same time, how is it that we can have joy and fear in the same sentence? They left knowing that they had a risen Savior, and the angel said, don't fear. And they said, we don't have any choice. We're human. So they left with fear and joy in their hearts. Now, we might look at that and go, well, that's pretty sad, but look at Matthew 28:10. Matthew and Jesus would meet them on the road. They're walking away. And he says, Jesus will meet you. And then Jesus does. He meets them. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. Here's what's amazing about Jesus is even if you go out in joy and fear, Jesus will always say, leave the fear at home. In fact, never mind. Don't leave it at home. Bring it to me and I'll take it. Because he's a burden-bearing God. Amen. The angel said, do not fear. And then Jesus meets him on the road and he goes, oh, I see you're anxious, you're excited, but you're also fearful. Well, you can leave that over there. The other day, remember when the storms came through? It got real bad at my house. I mean, I looked in my front yard and there was a twig down in the front yard. So I had to go pick it up. It was a big deal. But, you know, the lightning was really bad during that storm. And we were sitting there eating dinner. And we have these windows right behind us when we're eating dinner. And lightning was like just popping. It was just hitting like real close to us, very bright. I'm sitting there eating dinner and my little daughter was across the table from us. And it was weird because it was this big bolt of lightning, just this big flash, and it would light up the little dining area and everything. And my daughter wouldn't move, just sitting there eating her food. Like, okay, cool, lightning, whatever. Until about 4 seconds later, when the thunder came. And she goes, ah! I don't know about y'all, but in the history of man, thunder has never hurt anybody. I mean, you might have hurt yourself at the thunder, but thunder has never hurt anyone. So I just found it comical. We're sitting there eating dinner, and she's reacting to the wrong thing. Like, boom! Do you realize that that's how we are? That every time God has a mountaintop experience with us, and fear starts to creep in, and doubt starts to creep in, it's normally because of something that happened long ago. Something that happened way over there a long time ago. And the enemy keeps bringing it up, and it's like rumbles of thunder in our life every time. And we shudder, and we go and hide in a closet. And we say, well, I can't do that. I'm not good enough. You know, I don't know scripture. I don't preach. I've never stood on a stage before. I can't do these things. And we get so afraid of what happened years ago, with the after effects of what happened years ago. Can I tell you this? After effects have never hurt anybody. And the event that happened was so long ago, and it happened over there anyway, and that can't hurt you again. And yet, every time fear starts to creep in, we go, wow, I'm so afraid. My daughter sitting there, thunder would roll in. She's like, oh, I just want to get off the table. I just want to go back to my room or whatever. We're like, it's over. There's nothing to fear. And Satan will walk up and present to you something that happened in your past. And you will shudder every time, won't you? You will fear. You will cower. Oh, man, what if somebody brings that up? What if somebody knows my past? What if somebody finds out or whatever? And we are afraid. But God says, you know what? I knew that. And I called you anyway. I knew that, and I had a mountaintop experience with you anyway. I knew that, and I sent you out anyway. Amen? You know what's amazing is, the disciples, they went out, and it says Jesus sent them out two by two. This is before Easter, obviously. But it says when they came back, they returned with what? Anybody remember? They returned with joy. All right, so check this out. We talked about this a few weeks ago. They were pumped. These disciples were so pumped. They were young, energetic, overconfident in themselves. They were foolish, but they were following Jesus. So Jesus said, hey, I'm going to send you out two by two. And they were so pumped. They were so excited. And they returned to Jesus with joy. And in fact, they told Jesus, they said, hey, Jesus, we casted out demons in your name. And he's like, I know. It's what I sent you to do. You don't have to tell me. I mean, I'm excited. That's cool. And I think about that because when Satan approached Jesus all throughout Scripture, when it says that Jesus had an encounter with Satan, you know, Satan tempted him, and there were several things that, you know, in the scripture where Satan would come up. So Jesus would just talk to Satan, like one-on-one, and he would, like, give him scripture back and say, you know, that's not what scripture says, and here's actually what my father said, and they would have a conversation, and then Satan would go on about his way. And then remember when the disciples were getting on his nerve, and Jesus looked at him and said, hey, get behind me, Satan. You never want that to happen. You're going to be the other disciple. You know what I'm saying? You never want that, right? But get behind me. Like, you don't deserve to be beside me or in front of me. Get behind me, Satan. You can walk over there. Like, that's great. But what happened on this trip when he sent the disciples out, these young guys, these energetic guys who were just preaching the gospel and casting out demons and healing the sick and getting all excited. You know what happened? Jesus says, yeah, I know. When I talk to Satan, we just have a conversation. And I debate him and I tell him that God is better and I make him get behind me and everything. He says, but when you preach the gospel, when you were out there casting out demons, I saw Satan fall from heaven like what? Lightning. And I saw him destroyed right there on the spot because you were being faithful to me. Isn't that amazing? Because couldn't it be that the rumblings that you hear is not from your past, but it's from a defeated Satan? Couldn't it be the after effects of a lightning bolt was not something horrific that happened in your life, but it was Satan crying out and being in pain because you actually followed through with what God has told you to do? Isn't that amazing? When you, as believers and followers, go out and do what God has asked you to do, you realize that the heavens move on your behalf? And so when God says, I have appointed you things, I have appointed you dinners to have at restaurants, I have appointed you waitresses, God is going, yeah. Because I can do whatever I want. Isn't that amazing? Because when you do what I've called you to do, you will see Satan fall like lightning. And the thunder you hear will not be of some conviction from Satan, but will be because he fell so hard while you were preaching the gospel. Amen? Isn't that a good God? That's who our God is. That's why Jesus went to the cross right there, so we can have power and authority and walk around as believers like that. You know, the world portrays believers as weak. If you ever like say anything against them or try to rise up against them, they're like, oh no, you're a Christian, you can't say anything. Test me. Test me. I mean, I even know some Christians that'll cuss you. I'll go get them. Come on. We'll stab you. We don't care. In the name of Jesus, but we will, all right? So, God doesn't play. God is not weak. He is not intimidated. He is not intimidated by your circumstance. He is not intimidated by your bank account. He's not looking around going, oh, how am I going to work this out? You know what God does? He works it out. That's who our God is. And so Jesus said, hey, I want you to understand something. I went to the cross. I went to death, I went to the grave, and I stayed there for 3 days for one reason, so you could actually follow me and preach the gospel. Now, go. You know, when Jesus says go, can I just tell you one more time that it's already paid for? Your path is already laid before you. He's already worked things out on your behalf. He's already worked things out behind the scene. When Jesus says go, there is nothing holding you back. Amen. Go in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So they returned with joy, and I got so excited I don't even know where I'm at. Can I just tell you, and then we'll end. Next time Satan tries to intimidate you with your past, can you just intimidate him with your God? Yeah. Yeah. Cool, Satan. I know. Have you met Jesus? Remember when you were in heaven with Jesus and you decided to be bad and Jesus said, okay, we'll go and leave. I'll just destroy you later. Yeah, that still holds true. Believers, can I tell you this morning, go. Go. Your Easter message is this, is only the beginning. Amen. Let's pray.
Thanks again for listening to our audio podcast. If you would like to find out more about our church, you can visit us at life-church.org.